Been preaching on the miracles on Sunday morning, and of course we dealt with the miracle of the leper being cleansed. And on Sunday night, I've been preaching on the parables. And tonight, I'm going to be preaching about a parable concerning a man who was forgiving, but he refused to forgive others. This is the parable of the unforgiving person. And Jesus Christ has a lot to say about people that will not forgive others their trespasses. So we're going to be speaking tonight from Matthew chapter 18. Quite a bit of reading. We're going to read verse 21 down to verse 35. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. In fact, if you don't have a Bible with you, we've got the Word. The Word of God's lit up around here all the time, and it's on the screen, and you can follow. And it begins like this in verse 21. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, now he's feeling real spiritual here. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now Peter's being real spiritual. Seven times? Wow. Boy, he's generous, isn't he? But Jesus pops his balloon, lets the air out of Peter. Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, not just seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times. So when you get through, when you can count to 490 times and then you're okay. You can get them. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an unlimited amount. You should always be forgiving. And then he begins this parable. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, the same guy that's forgiven, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And this fellow servant fell down to his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Aren't you glad America doesn't have debtor's prison? If it did, we'd all be in jail. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. In other words, they were grieved by this man's actions, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. What an indictment. What a powerful parable we have here. You may be seated. I'm talking about the parable on the unforgiving, or the one forgiven but refusing to give forgiveness. Now, If you listen carefully, you'll not only be stirred and touched, I think you'll learn some things tonight. You say, how do you know that? Because I learned some things studying this. Remember, Peter comes to Jesus in verse 21, and he's acting really spiritual. He said, how often should I forgive my brother or one who transgresses against me? He said, 7 times. See, he pumped the number up. The Jewish people thought you could forgive 3 or 4, but that, you know, and maybe Peter thought, well, 3 or 4, that's good, but I'm going to make it a 7. I want to put 7 on the number. And Peter thought, boy, my Lord is going to be impressed with me. I forgive people 7 times. You see, he heard the Lord say, if your enemy smites you on the cheek, turn the other. You know, you only got 4 cheeks you can turn. Well, it worked when I was praying. I don't know what it is. I don't want, you know, sometimes it just don't work out, you know. I came in this morning, turned on the AC in the fellowship hall, and I turned the one on the thermostat on the pastor's side to get a little AC going, get it cool. And I couldn't get the thing to work. I said, well, the batteries are dead. So I went and got new batteries and put batteries in it, and it still didn't do a thing. So I went to our chief technician of the church, Dave Livesey. And I said, the thing isn't working. And Dave said, well, I'll look at it. And so he goes over there and they pop the cover off and they find out that I'd put the batteries in backwards. Now the question is, if the Lord popped your lid, what would he find? Sometimes we don't always get it together, amen? But I'm glad that the Lord's merciful when he does pop our lid and looks in. Now, Jesus Christ rebukes him and says unto Peter, I say unto you, until 7 times? No, but until 70 times 7. Now, immediately we want to ask our question, where is Jesus coming up with this 70 times 7? That's 490 times. 7 times 70. 490 times. Well, there's one. You did me wrong. There's two. Well, I'm really upset. That's 3. Get to 20 or 30, that's 25. You've wronged me 55 times. Well, by the time you get to 490, you're going to forget what you were mad about. Amen? Hello. So Jesus Christ is basically saying there is an unlimited forgiveness. You're to give forgiveness unlimited. But I think we can see what this 70 times 70 is. Now, immediately, as Josh, and I agree with Josh, that it reminds me of the 490 years that Israel would be put under Gentile rule, the 70 weeks of Israel, 490 years, Sabbath years, in the 70 Sabbath years, 7 times 70, 490, and one day the Lord will return, and total forgiveness will be granted to Israel, and there'll be a millennial, and there'll be a time of great rejoicing. I think that's a good place to look. How many know God's going to forgive Israel? And God's a forgiving God. Amen. I've had people say to me, I just don't think the Lord forgave me. And I always say to them, don't the Lord practice what he preaches? Doesn't God practice what he preaches? Then if he says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Amen. Quit dragging that old dry bone around, chewing on it, feeling sorry for yourself. Amen. But I think we can go back to the 4th chapter of Genesis and see what Jesus actually was talking about. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to look at a guy named Cain. Remember, Cain killed his brother, Abel, and God brought punishment on Cain, drove him out from the garden. Verse 13 of Genesis 4, And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And he's correct. And if you don't give your life to God, it'll be greater than you can bear. Without Jesus Christ, our punishment is greater than we can bear. We know that Cain was a dud. He was a dud from the start, and he's still a dud today. We know that Cain is looked to as an evil person. But God was merciful even to Cain. Look at verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me will slay me. Everyone's picking on me. Everybody's coming after me. And so the Lord says in verse 15, he said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him, how many times? Sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Verse 16, the one sentence, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, we're not just talking about Cain. We know that God said that he would bring vengeance for sevenfold upon anyone that would hurt Cain. Or kill him. But then there was another character by the name of Lamech. Lamech was a rotten guy, wicked guy. And verse 23, it says, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain or murdered a man to my wounding. In other words, I killed a young man, and it's going to hurt me. It's going to make it bad on me. Verse 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Did you see that? That's what Jesus was referring to. He was referring to, you're done without me. You can't have forgiveness without me. And you can go your way and do your thing and go your direction and live the life you're living, but without me, you will not have forgiveness. Lamech was doomed. Cain was doomed because they wanted God to protect them even in their violence, even in their sin. Well, I don't want God to protect me in my sin. I want him to protect me from my sin. I don't want God to deliver people from me while I'm in sin. I want God to deliver me so I'm no longer in sin. And God has done that for me. How many in this room would say, he did it for me? Amen. Praise God. And I think that's 7 times 70 you find Jesus referring to. Now let's go to the parable. And it's a long parable reading, but it's got a short message to it. The first thing I want to point out is our sins are beyond payment to the Lord. This man, notice in verse 23, the kingdom is like a king that sends out an account to his servants. 24, he says he finds a man that owes 10,000 talents. The king says, pay up. And the guy said, you know, be merciful to me, because the king was going to sell him and his wife and his children and everything he had. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay all. Well, first of all, that is dreaming, because he could not have paid all. I said he could not have paid all. You know what 10,000 talents is? Now, that people disagree, but when you get into the, you know, it's like the government. What's another trillion? I mean, what's another billion? In our finances, in our money today, 10,000 talents could be anywhere from a million to a billion. Well, if I owed that much, I mean, I wouldn't be dumb enough to say, hold on, I'll pay it. Amen? And the guy says to the king, just give me time. You know, I'll pay what I owe. Not in a million years. Not in a trillion years will he ever pay his debt. And I want you to know, you and I as sinners, not in a million trillion years can we ever pay our sin debt. It takes the blood of the Lamb. It takes the finished work of Jesus Christ. It takes the power of God. We can't in a million lifetimes obtain or work out salvation because we are doomed. We cannot pay what we owe. Because we owe too much. And our sins are beyond payment. You know, God wants everybody to see that they're bankrupt. Once they see they're bankrupt, once they see they're beyond help, then they can get some help. Amen? It's the guy that says, bless God, I ain't did nothing wrong. I pay my debts. I work hard. The Lord will be good for me. No, he won't. Because you're measuring your life compared to what you think this world ought to be, you better measure yourself up to Jesus Christ. Amen? And by the way, you'll always find someone better than you. And if you want to be a real hypocrite, you can always find someone worse than you. But I'm not looking. Everybody say, I'm not looking. See, I'm looking to Jesus. This guy owed 10,000 talents. And he falls to the feet of the king. And the king, look at this, what it says in verse 27. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. Why? Because in verse 26, the servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will repay. Well, I think there was a big grin on the king's face because he knew he wasn't going to get to pay it. But he had compassion. And he forgave. Notice in verse 27, he forgave him the debt. He released him from the debt. God has canceled my debt. How many in this room can say, God has canceled your debt? God has made me free. The charges have been dropped. I'm free to live because of Jesus Christ. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. That's our Jesus. Loosed him and forgave him of the debt. But wait a minute. That same guy that was forgiven that owed 10,000 talents leaves the presence of the king, verse 28, and he goes out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, 100 pence is actually about 100 days' wages. That's basically what 100 pence was, about 100 days. And so he actually could pay the guy. But notice he says the same thing that the other guy said. When this one that was forgiven took him by the throat. How many know it's time for people to get their hands off of other people's throats? Amen? Hello? And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee. Same thing that the other guy said to the king. But he says, have patience with me, I will pay it. No, verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. Now, no matter what has been done to you, no matter what has been done to you, and there's some people that you've been treated grievously. People have been treated very badly, but no matter what has been done to you, it doesn't come close to what man has done to God. Hello? Because that same servant went out that was forgiven and put the pressure on an individual and would not forgive that individual. It was such a spectacle that in verse 31, it says that the people around them were stirred. The fellow servants saw what was done and they were very sorry. They were grieved and came and told their Lord all that was done. Now, let me say this real quickly. I'm not saying that you haven't had bad things happen to you. I'm not saying that people hadn't treated you wrong. I'm not saying there isn't grievous things. And I probably would be accurate in saying that there's people that don't attend this church, never walk through these doors, has been mistreated worse than you ever dreamed of being mistreated. Now, some of you say, well, I've been mistreated. Well, you know, no matter what people do to you, it does not compare to what man has done to God. A holy, thrice holy God, man curses him on a daily basis. Man mocks him on a daily basis, doesn't believe him, doesn't trust him, takes God for granted, takes the things and ignores God. And worse than that, tramples underfoot the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that the Father gave. No one's treated God. Everybody's treated God much worse than we've ever been treated ourselves by other men. God's never treated me like people have treated me. God's treated me good. God's treated me loving. God's treated me with forgiveness. Other people's treated me bad. Other people's treated you bad. But God is not responsible for your bad back. And God is not responsible for your bad heart. And God is not responsible for your diabetes. And God is not responsible for the doctor's diagnosis. God is a good God. And God's the healer. And God's the Savior. And God's Lord over heaven and earth. And he so loved you and I that God gave his son Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt, a debt that you could not pay, you could never pay, but Jesus Christ paid it in full on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood and went to the tomb and rose again from the grave so that you and I would have no excuse to be unforgiving toward others. We have no excuse to be unforgiving toward others. No one's treated God. God's been treated worse than anyone ever on earth. And because God's been treated very unkind, God expects us to forgive. And if we don't forgive, God sees it as an insult. If we don't forgive, God sees it as unacceptable. Hello? God expects us to forgive. Notice what it says. And if we do not, God will see us as completely unreasonable people. Because God went to the cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died for our sins. And he says, as Christ has forgiven you, you forgive each other. It's unacceptable. Jesus Christ does not give anyone in this room the right to hold a grudge and be angry and unforgive other people. Well, bless God, they got to come to me and ask. Really? God died for you before you were ever born. Really? God provided for you forgiveness before you ever came on the scene, Mr. Smarty Pants. God was here, came to the cross, died on the cross. That was before I was born, but he died on the cross for me. Amen. Everybody say, wow. Now that's our God. And God expects us. You see, they went to the king and said, you know that guy you forgave that could never forgive you in a million years, 10,000 talents? That guy that you forgave, king, went out and got a fellow servant that owed him 100 days' wages and took him by the neck and choked him and said, pay me what you owe. And when the man couldn't pay, he asked for time. He didn't even ask for forgiveness. He just asked for time to pay it. He said he took the guy and put him in prison, made him suffer. All the king, that didn't sit good. How many know that don't sit good with God either when you don't forgive? Not only does it not sit with God when you don't forgive, it don't sit with you when you don't forgive. And not only does it not sit good with God when you don't forgive, and it don't sit good with your heart when you don't forgive, it don't sit good with your neighbors, your family, your friends. Nothing more embarrassing to have someone in the family that hates everybody. Nothing more embarrassing than to have someone in the church that's critical about everything and everybody. Amen? And the king was wroth. Now, verse 32 is an incredible statement. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave all that debt. Now, why did he forgive the debt? He had compassion, and he could do it. It says, because thou desirest me. So I take it that this man was saying to the king, I'll serve you the rest of my life. I desire you. I honor you. Remember, he fell down and he asked this king to help him. And he said, because you desirest me. How many in this room desire God? I desire Jesus Christ. Amen. And because I desire Jesus Christ, should not I also have compassion on my fellow servant? Even as Jesus had pity on me, verse 33. And the Lord was wroth. Notice the Lord was wroth and delivered him. You say, what does wroth mean? It means he's really mad, extremely mad. I mean, boiling over. He said, the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. If we don't forgive, this is the last point of the message, point five, if we do not forgive, there is going to be severe consequences or severe punishment. We do not forgive. So, well, I'm waiting for them to ask me to forgive them. Wrong answer. You forgive, period, whether they ever ask you for forgiveness or not. Now, let's get something straight. Now, here's where we're gonna split the hair on the frog. This is going to get real thin. The king forgave him of 10,000 talents. But the king wasn't going to give him another loan. Hello? Forgiveness doesn't mean once you forgive him, you got to let him walk all over you again. Forgiveness doesn't, if the bank forgives you of a loan, it doesn't mean the bank has to give you another loan. If they're not right with God, you know, if they don't give me another loan, they're not right with God. Well, they really don't care. It's about money. And I want everybody to know, you don't have to forgive someone and continue to let them mop you like up off the floor like and mistreat you and be unkind. You don't have to say forgive someone and then allow them to beat you all the time. You don't have to allow that. But you do have to forgive them. And in your heart, you have to forgive them. And then you've got to learn whether or not you want to walk with them or not. Whether you want to be involved with them or not. Now, you may look at me as a bad pastor. You may say, bad pastor, bad pastor. Well, there's some people that I have forgiven. But I'm not taking them out to Lambert's for a steak. There's some people that I have forgiven. But I'm not going to continue to let them beat me or hurt me. I'll forgive them. I'll forgive them from my heart. But I'm not going to stick my head in the noose for them to hang me again. Amen? Well, they're family. You got to do it for family. Who said? Who says I have to do it for family? We got to do it for family. I mean, family blood thicker than water. Yeah, and being blood washed in Jesus Christ is thicker than family blood. Now, am I trying to drive a wedge? No. We got people in politics doing that. Amen? I want to go on record. I put this on Facebook. I want to go on record. What do you, if you want the vaccine, if you want a shot, roll up your sleeve, get your shot. That's your right. That's your choice. But if you don't want a shot, roll up both sleeves and fight. And say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be supportive of you, whatever you decide. Mask or no mask, shot or no shot. You're my brother and sister in Christ. We are Americans. More than that, we are Christian. And it doesn't matter whether you have shot or vaccine or mask or blah, 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 blah. I am not going to let politicians or anything else separate my unity with you and I over a cloth on a mouth or a shot in an arm. If you get a shot, you haven't sinned. If you don't get a shot, you still haven't sinned. But we need to act right among each other. How many agree with that? We kind of had a little patty caking going over here. How many really got, give the Lord a big praise if you believe that. Give the Lord a big praise if you really believe that. I do believe that. You say, well, preacher, you're pulling punches, not telling us what you think. Really? Really? Now listen to me. Verse 33, 34, and 35, and we'll conclude the message. It brings out something incredible. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? This is the king speaking to the man he forgave. Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Notice he says, the king would deliver this man that won't forgive to the tormentors. He doesn't say, deliver him to hell. He says, he'll be punished. Now, a lot of people want to use this to prove that, you know, God's going to throw you into hell if you don't forgive people. No, if you get forgiveness from Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. But if you live a life where you won't forgive others, you're going to great tribulations. You're going to tormentors. It says he will deliver him to the tormentors until he should pay all that is due unto him. Now, we just established earlier that he could never pay his debt. But how many of you know there's some things that money has nothing to do? How many of you know that suffering, problems, our life, money's not the answer? And if a person's turned over to the tormentors, such as fear in their heart, anger in their heart, bitterness in their spirit, adversity, strife in their life, constant turmoil, constant fear and anguish and strife and constant bitterness and anger. Those are all tormentors. Guilt and shame, anger. Those are all tormentors. And those tormentors are more powerful than money. In fact, the tormentors will pay the debt. But that's not a good way to pay your debt. Because you can go through tormentors and tormentors and tormentors and pay your debt and then still find yourself in hell. We need to learn to forgive. Amen? I said this morning, but I got to say it again because it's so good. Billy Sunday was preaching about, and they should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And he was preaching about hell, and he said people will be cast out, and they'll wail and gnash for teeth. And there was an agnostic or atheist in the crowd, and it was a woman, and she yelled out, I don't believe that stuff about hell, wailing and gnashing of teeth, gnashing of teeth. She said, Billy Sunday, I don't have no teeth. And Billy Sunday said, for you, we will provide some. That's my kind of preaching. You see, there are some things worse than dying. Living a life that is defeated and full of anger and full of unforgiveness is worse than dying. So, that's a parable that's incredible. How many would agree that this is an incredible parable? We've got to learn to forgive each other. Amen. Bless God, they smite me on the cheek, I'll turn the other cheek and the other too. After that, the Lord don't say what to do. Oh, yes, he does. 7 times 70. 490. I know some rotten rascals out there that's done me wrong, but they can't even get close to 490 times. And if they did, it's not a number, it's a statement that Jesus Christ is saying, you forgive like God forgave you. You let God forgive you, and you understand forgiveness is powerful. I've said this before, forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. It's powerful when you get saved. It's powerful when you forgive others that trespassed against you. It's powerful. There's nothing more liberating, nothing more refreshing than for you to forgive someone that has done you wrong. Because the one that done you wrong is not suffering. You are. Because God has delivered you to the tormentors. You go down into your dungeon, you go down in your medieval chains and whips and dungeon and your vice, body twisting and stretching dungeon, your medieval, in your mind you get medieval, I'll get them, I'll destroy them, because I did you wrong. They didn't shake your hand in church. They didn't call you when you missed church. And so you decide, and I realize that I'm being lighthearted, because there are people that's been grievously hurt, grievously, but nothing compared to what Jesus went through for us. But you go down in your little basement in your chamber, and you spend all night hating that person. You go down in your basement, and you spend all week despising that person. And all the time you're despising and hating that person and finding out how you're going to get even, that person's out having a blast. And you're down in your basement like a sewer rat, defeated. Come out of your basement and forgive. Amen? Forgive. Forgive. That doesn't mean you have to let them, steamroller you over. Amen? Heard a story about the guy that got steamrolled over and he had to go to the hospital and he's in room 300, 301, 302, 303, 304. That's corny, I know. But got you to laugh because you're corny. But anyway. How many would agree this is a great parable? There's no excuse for us to be hateful toward people. There's no excuse for us to be unforgiving. Even if whether they ask you forgiveness or not. And the truth is, sometimes when they come and ask you for forgiveness, you're saying, why? No, oh, no, I ain't, it don't bother me. You liar. You've been stewing in that chicken soup for a week. Amen. And then you got the idiot that goes to the person and says, I just wanted to come by and tell you I forgive you. And the guy's looking at you like, for what? I've told the story of this before. A woman came to our church and said, you didn't wave at me on the highway. But that's okay, I forgive you. She said, I was in the church a month or two ago, and you don't remember me. I said, that's okay. I forgive you. She said, you hurt me in the preaching, but I forgive you. I don't think you act the way a preacher ought to act, but I forgive you. And all the time she's saying, I forgive you, I said, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. She said, I forgive you for not waving at me. I said, thank you. I need all the forgiveness I can get. She said, I forgive you for not shaking my hand. I said, thank you, ma'am. I need all the forgiveness I could get. She said, I forgive you for not remembering me last time I came to church. I said, thank you, ma'am. I need all the forgiveness I can get. She said, what? Are you mocking me? I said, thank you, ma'am. I need all the forgiveness I can get. And she says, you really don't care, do you? I said, you're right. I need all the forgiveness I can get. But we need to be forgiving to each other, caring for each other. Amen. Say, bless God. If I see him side of the road and flat tire, I'll just beep, beep, and go right on by. Well, you can do that, or you can pull in behind them and change their tire, or help them, or if you don't want to get around them because you're fearful of what that could do to you, you could pay the tire shop to come out and fix it. Amen? I used to think, well, it's so nice for people. I go to a restaurant and they pay for my meal. That is so sweet. And then I got to reading in the scriptures where you're supposed to be good to your enemies, and I'm thinking, maybe they're not being sweet to me. We're to be good to people. We're Christians. How many agree we're to be good to people? We're Christians. And we need to be forgiving. Forgiving. Don't wait for them to ask or tell you they're sorry. Forgive them before then. Don't allow people to walk over you once you forgive them. But the Bible's very clear that God will hold you responsible. He'll hold people responsible that do not forgive in their heart. We've got to forgive in our heart. Amen? That's okay. Don, I forgive you. It's okay, Dale, I forgive you. What they do, I don't know. Whatever they do, I've already forgiven them. If they do on me, I forgive them. That didn't come out right. Whoa, I gotta quit. Stan, we're gonna give an invitation. That didn't work. Gotta forgive me. Amen. Forgive me. We just gotta forgive people. We can't stew around and hold grudges. God's been so good to us. He's forgiven us and paid our debt that we could never pay. And He forgave us forever. And if we allow unforgiveness to permeate our life and fester in our life, we're just going to bring torment to ourselves. But God loves you, and He doesn't want you to be turned to the tormentors. We're going to give an altar call. The altar's open. We'll be going to the table in just a little bit to worship and to partake of the bread and the cup. How many like this parable? Amen. Jerry, I forgive you. I don't know what, but I forgive. Jerry ain't ever done nothing to me. Jerry's never done anything to me. But if he ever does me wrong, I've already forgiven him. That's not permission to get me. See, we need to forgive people in advance. Amen? So if they ever do, we know how we're going to respond. Amen? That's called premeditated forgiveness. That'd be a good sermon title, premeditated forgiveness. Decide from the start. Altar's open. Josh's going to sing. We're going to go to the table in just a little bit, but we want to give everybody the opportunity to clear your minds, your heart, your soul, and look to Jesus tonight.